Go. It has been a wonderful way to start out this class because we've just heard that all the snowbirds are lined up on the fence here. They come back and joined our group. There's 12 around the table here today. And we're glad that you have joined us wherever you are listening to this tape, in what state or wherever. We're just glad that you'll be a part of it. So we're going to get started with lesson number 14 with Joseph, and we're starting with Genesis chapter 45 through 8, only 1 through 8 today. So we're going to read this first before we get started with our study and do, well, we could do the review questions first, I guess. Let's do that. Let's do the review questions. Now, if you haven't been here before, you're safe.
Okay.
So you don't have to
worry about
being called on or whatever. So the first question from last week is, how did Joseph show grace to his brothers? How did Joseph show grace to his brothers?
And kill them.
Okay.
Yeah. That was a big, yeah. That's a
remember, they said, you know, the reason for this is that Joseph ordered his steward to hide his silver drinking cup in one of the sacks of his brothers. And they put it in whose sack?
Benjamin.
Now, Benjamin is in birth order. What is he? He's the youngest.
Yeah.
And of course, when they get stopped by the steward and saying, hey, how can you treat us this way that you rip us off, you thieves, you spies, you know? They said, well, we didn't do anything, and they think they are in the right. And so he said, well, I'm going to have to check out your sacks. And he checks them all out, and they come to Benjamin. To the shock and horror of all the brothers, they would have said, not Benjamin, but there was the drinking cup. The silver cup was in his bag. And all before this, they said that if you find the cup in anyone here, then we'll kill the one who you find the silver cup in the bag. Whoever took it is going to be dead. And the rest of us will be your slaves for the rest of our lives in Egypt. And that's what they said. The steward said, okay, that's what you said. That's what we'll do. And here when they find the silver cup, instead of going back to Canaan like they were hoping, they had to turn around and go back to wherever Joseph is living in Egypt. And that's kind of where we pick up here today in our study. But when we get done with the questions, we'll get into that. All right, which one of the brothers spoke on behalf of all to Joseph?
Judah.
Yeah, remember, Judah. Judah, and it's funny that it was not Reuben, because Reuben is the firstborn. And it is Reuben who takes us to number three here. Reuben is strangely quiet here. Why is that? Why do you think Reuben is not saying anything here at this time?
Is he the one that said that his son would be killed?
Yeah.
He didn't bring Benjamin back?
Yeah, he told his dad. He said, if I don't come back with Benjamin, then you can kill both of my sons, which would be Jacob's grandsons. I mean, what a thing to say. But he was so confident that that would be done, that he'd bring Benjamin back. Well, now the tables have turned again against these guys. So four, it's true or false. A guilty conscience can be a good thing. True or false?
Yeah, true.
True. It is true. It can be a good thing. Well, we're just looking at the story here with Joseph and his brothers, because his brothers we've noticed that they've had a guilty conscience for over 20 years. What they've done to Joseph kind of keeps coming up, keeps coming back to them. They have not figured out who Joseph is at, who he is even now at this particular time. What can help a person who has a guilty conscience?
Confession,
which would also lead to?
Repentance. Apology.
Forgiveness.
Right.
Yeah, just being forgiven. That is really the antidote for a guilty conscience. Knowing that you're forgiven. Boy, How many times have you needed that in your life?
Many.
You know, it seems like it never stops, does it? Over and over again. Need forgiveness. And the last one here on our review questions is 5. Judah tried to make a bargain with Joseph. What was that bargain? What did Judah try to do with Joseph?
Stay as Joseph's slave and let Reuben, I mean not Reuben, Benjamin go back.
Yeah, he's going to take Benjamin's spot. Let me take Benjamin's, you know, I will stay here and then also be your servant or your slave. But let Benjamin go back because I cannot handle what my father will be like or what will happen to him if he realizes that Benjamin does not come back with them. Because he didn't think his dad could handle that at all, and he's a very old man at this time.
I don't understand the first one, though. How did Joseph show grace to his brothers?
By not killing what his own brothers said. Hey, we'll kill the guy who they find the cup in, his sack, and then we'll all be your slaves for the rest of our lives. So that was kind of what they said from their own mouths. And so the steward just basically said, well, you said it.
So then Joseph basically forgave them.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, the steward would go back, probably inform Joseph of what took place there with his brothers. And so, I mean, Joseph is really on top of everything that goes on here.
Didn't Joseph go out quietly and cry or pray for that?
Well, who knows?
Oh, I thought we were.
Well, he'd done that before they left.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he'd gone out a couple of times where
he had already kind of.
Yeah, he's done some crying, but you know, it's not over yet.
Yeah.
It's not over yet. So okay, let's read just verses 1 through 8 of Genesis chapter 45. And if you don't want to read, just say pass, and you can read as many as you want, verses or just one. I started here last week, so Doran, you want to start this week?
Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all of his attendants, and he cried out, "Have everybody leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him and the Pharaoh's household heard it about it.
Yeah, so what kind of a scene is that, Norma?
Yeah.
I mean, this is not just a typical little sniffle. I mean, this is really a wailing. I mean, if it could be heard from outside the walls of him just being in the room with his brothers, and then the word got out. I mean, what are they thinking? They're thinking, like, is he really mad? Is he really ticked off? Or is he really chewing out these people that are in this room with him alone? They don't know what's going on in there. But here, I mean, he's just weeping. You know, when's the last time you wept like that? Oh, let's go on here. Okay, Jim, you want to read, or you can pass, and Barb can read. So
Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence.
Okay.
Go on.
Number 4, Barb.
Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now, do you not be distressed, and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there have been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will not be plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives. By a great deliverance."
Last verse.
Okay. "So then it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all of Egypt."
Okay, thank you. Wow. There's a lot said here. A lot going on. All right, look at number 1 on your worksheet. when Joseph ordered that everyone leave the room except the ones accused of taking his personal silver drinking cup, what do you think was going around in their minds?
Murder.
It's kind of like, when's he going to kill us and how is he going to kill us?
Fear.
But there definitely is fear there, isn't it?
Yes.
Lots of fear. They did not see this as a fun thing to be going through. This is very serious. Very serious time. Especially when you heard him say, like, everybody out of the room except for you guys. Can you about imagine what that would be like?
They all had guilty consciences.
Well, yeah, that's part of it. That's,
yeah, it's not like they all had done all this really good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we're not here for a party.
Well, yeah. You know, earlier on they thought they were really good guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
Everything was like, hey, we're honest people.
They were lying.
And they were lying dogs, weren't they?
Yes, they were.
Number two, you have heard it said that grown men don't cry. How did Joseph reveal himself to his brothers?
Cried.
He cried.
He also
yeah. And how old is Joseph? How old is he about at this time? Approximately.
Early 30s.
Yeah, he's probably more in his 40s.
How was he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He started out as, well, he's probably in his 30s.
Yeah.
Because he started out when he was 30, I think, with being with the Pharaoh and to get the granaries and all that stuff. Promoted to be VP of Egypt. So, but there, you know, we find that now he's going to reveal himself, and he does it out of, it's like he can't talk. He's so emotional. And these guys are scaredy cats. I mean, they want him to run out of this room. And he tells them, come close to me. Now, that's a very interesting thing to ask. Mm-hmm. Now, we think of, you know, would this be close enough? Like this table, we're sitting around the table. Is this, okay, if you're sitting down there, okay, come back, and would you take a place at the table here and say, well, this is close enough? Well, the word that is used here is means they're all standing, and they all come in really close. So he can see their eyes, and they can see his eyes, they can see his face. And this is when he reveals himself to them. And of course, he probably sees on their faces what's going on. They're thinking they're in really bad trouble. And he wants them to see his face. They're going like, I love you guys. We're the same family, and remember, you sold me in that caravan to come to Egypt. But God is ahead of all of this. You know, he's looking at it from the perspective of God that he serves, is still in control of all this stuff.
He didn't do it with malice.
No.
He didn't do it with
hate. His attitude throughout this whole time has been what?
Loving.
Forgiving.
You know, it's all those things. You know, he's just, I mean, it's like, I couldn't do that. I just couldn't do that. But he was, the way he was.
And they were so jealous of Joseph that that's what just led him to, they were just, he's just driving me crazy.
Yeah.
He's loved by his father, you know, not us, you know.
Favorite son.
Yeah.
The favorite, we talked about, you have a favorite in your family? We talked about that before, a long time ago. And we also came up with one, we were like, I think there was one in our family. And sometimes it wasn't us or me. Okay, let's go on to the next one. The response of Joseph's brothers was, again, we've said this before.
Well, they couldn't even answer him.
They couldn't answer him, but the reason why they couldn't answer him was what?
Shock.
Yeah, it's just, you know, fear.
Uh-huh.
They're full of fear. As they have been many times before in Egypt. They've been scared, frightened many times. And here is no difference. When he reveals himself, they kind of go like, oh no, we thought we got rid of you, but here you are.
Yeah.
And when I think of an Egyptian, I just think of Bruce Osher. Just clean cut. You know? Give him a golden crown, some golden bling around his neck. I'd say there's a good Egyptian right there.
I see a striking resemblance. Me and wasn't Yul Brynner? One of those Bible movies.
Right, yeah. Right.
Well, he was a Pharaoh.
He was a Pharaoh.
The Ten Commandments.
That was the Moses.
Yeah, in the Moses show.
Yeah.
What was the name of that?
The Ten Commandments.
Ten Commandments.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I'll be you, brother. He's pretty clean cut.
Yeah, he was. He really was. Yeah. I think he was in The King and I, too.
Oh, right. The King.
That was in China, I think it was. So. All right. So, number four. How many times did Joseph have to say who he was to his brothers?
I think once was enough.
No, two times.
At least two.
Let's see.
Three times? When did...
Yeah.
We only read once here.
Torah says...
Well, it goes on, it says...
I am your brother, Joseph.
Yep. Verse number three. And then he says it in verse number four.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says it again later on, but I think it's probably sunk into them by now that, yeah, he really is Joseph, the one we sold. So we think three times he had mentioned it to them. Now, interesting, the number three, you even look at a lot of nursery rhymes that we grew up with. The Three Little Pigs, remember that story? There was three. It seems like it takes, we have to hear something sometimes three times before we actually get it or understand it, or we get the point of what's being told. And so with Joseph, he just kind of mentioned to him three times who he was, identifying himself with them. The first time this has happened. You know,
did they not recognize him because he was clean shaven and they were not?
Yep. He's all Egyptian. Mm-hmm. And he played the part where he had an interpreter so somebody could interpret what his brother, of course he understood what the brothers were saying, but he played the part of being Egyptian. And so now, they had no idea that this was their brother Joseph because he would be clean shaven. They would be with beards. And we'll find out later on, we found out before, that the Egyptians did not associate with who?
Hebrews.
Jewish.
Why? What was their occupation?
Sheepherders.
Yeah.
They wanted nothing to do with sheepherders or shepherds.
It's amazing he put him in control of all of Egypt when he was a shepherd.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Well, they didn't ask him at that time.
No, I didn't.
but that is very interesting. Here you've got a shepherd who's in number two in the whole country of Egypt that has been honored by the Pharaoh over and over again. And, you know, his palace, I'm sure he lived in some kind of a pretty good palace. I mean, I'd call it, you know, he's living high on the hog. Mm-hmm. His brothers would never expect that either. Because when they came into his house, what were they like? When they were inside Joseph's house, were they happy?
They were afraid.
They were afraid. Uh-huh. Again, fear. Because they're thinking like, what's the setup here? Something's going to happen to us. They're going to take our donkeys. Of all the things to be thinking about. Now, if it would be like a Bronco or something like that, I could see. Four-wheel drive, whatever. All right, number five. This one is kind of a multiple choice here, but it says, when Joseph said to his brothers to come close to him, do you think they came running?
No.
It took a while. They had to think about it for a moment. Or they sat there for a long time.
I think they came running.
Not too long, or they could be in worse trouble because he's whatever he's powerful. Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, I mean, they're all very close when he revealed himself, but you know, it's just it's really, really difficult to put yourself in that position, that place.
Well, I think they had to think a little bit. Is this really happening? Is this really him?
Yeah.
You know, took him by surprise.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. If they'd have won, they would have been.
Oh, Bobby, that was a good one. Let's go on to number 6. Joseph hadn't forgotten what they did to him. He gives them a blank perspective. What do you think would go in that blank? What kind of perspective did Joseph give to his brothers?
Godly.
Yes, exactly.
Godly.
Joseph gives them a godly perspective. The brothers' perspective was a blank blank. I give you the two letters it starts with, a G and a C. The brothers' perspective was a...
guilty conscience.
Yes, a guilty conscience.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And then what follows here is number 7. Joseph saw that God had sent him blank to blank lives.
Ahead to save.
Ahead to save lives. Yeah. And that's how Joseph is looking at this whole thing, this whole ordeal. God has been ahead of everything going here. And so number 8, this is a little different kind of a question here. What parts did Joseph skip on what happened to him while in Egypt? Because he kind of told them a little bit what had gone on since they sold him. But what did he not say in along the way to where he's at now?
We didn't tell him about the prison.
Right. He didn't say anything about being in prison. How many years was he in prison that we know of?
Two.
At least two. At least two. It had to be longer than two, but at least two. What else did he not tell him?
When he started out as a slave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. With who?
Potiphar.
Yeah, so he doesn't mention Potiphar at all. He does not mention Potiphar's wife.
Yeah.
He didn't mention what else? Being sent to prison. How about the inmates that he met there? In prison.
The butcher.
The baker.
The
butcher.
The cupbearer. The cupbearer and the
baker.
Yeah.
I like butcher. The cupbearer and the baker. He met them in prison. And what else did he tell them? He didn't tell them about their dreams, did he? I mean, would that be a sore subject to bring up dreams at this point in time?
Well, he'll probably get into that later. Have a chance to
sit around. I'm sure you talked to him about this later on when they had more time to see what all took place. But you know, he did not have it wasn't a cakewalk by any means, was it? For Joseph. He'd been through an awful lot. And a lot of it was wasn't his fault, wasn't his doing. Things that happened to him.
Well, he didn't say to them, "Look what you guys did to me."
Right. He didn't. Yeah. He didn't make them feel guilty. He didn't throw that back at them of saying, "You know, yeah, all the stuff that you have no idea what you made me go through." But he doesn't even come close to that in what he's saying to them here. He just says, I am Joseph. He knows too many details about being sold for them to go like, yeah, it's him. So
he's looking at the end result. That's why God put him there.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, we're coming to the end of our study with Joseph, but I'm not going to say how many more times we are going to be talking with him or on him. Number 9, how many more years will there be a famine?
Five.
Look at that, 5 more years.
5 years.
Wow. That's, you know, that's a long time. 5 years. There would be nothing to eat. And you got to think of the animals. Mm-hmm. You know, if your livelihood was also kind of agricultural or farming, even if you were a sheep herder, there's nothing for the sheep to eat. But five more years of this, that's why they went down to Egypt to get food. They're hungry. Number 10, Joseph understands that God was with him the whole
time.
Very good. Very good. Time. God was with him the whole time. And number 11, what was the great deliverance from Joseph's point of view? Could go a lot of different ways here.
God's grace.
Yeah, definitely God's grace.
To preserve a remnant, the grace.
Bringing back his family.
You know,
to find out what was his father, what happened to him.
Well, yeah. But it's also, you know, Egypt is not a. The gods that they served and worshiped in Egypt is not the God of Jacob. And so by bringing the family to Egypt, you know, it took a famine. The great deliverance is really the famine, if you want to look at it that way, because it was through that is how this all comes together. And we're not quite there yet, but the great deliverance. I mean, Joseph knows that God has been ahead of him. God's got a plan. And it's going to be revealed here in our study. Not today, but in the future. The last question. Okay. It says this. What is our, making this personal, what is our great deliverance? What do you see as our great deliverance?
Jesus Christ.
Hey, that's really, yeah, it's really what it is. Jesus on the cross is our great deliverance. Because he died there for us. And we need not to, we have to make sure we do not lose sight of that as well. So, I'm going to shut off the tape. Because you never know what Denny might say about how he met Lynn.